today on Real Radio.
God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is true in nature. It's true in spiritual things. Isn't it amazing? If you obey God, if you desire to follow the Lord, guess what? Guaranteed, hands down, your life's going to be blessed. He'll bless you. He'll do it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's People in God's House, continues a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 6 today with verses 6 through 11. In this chapter, we find that we cannot be saved from our sins just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and only Him. The Apostle Paul now begins the final part of his letter to the Church of Galatia. As we saw in his letter so far, Paul has poured his heart into the message of God's grace and a faith-based gospel. Now, his desire is to once again liberate those churches who have returned to the bonds of legalism, and his hope is that they become a thriving and growing ministry once more. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks us, if we've been loving our brothers and sisters, and are we investing in spiritual things? God calls us to bless those who are blessing us and to seek out those who are hurting. And now, continuing in his lesson called God's People in God's House, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you get anything out of the teaching that I put forward, do you know it's not me? Did you know that if you're getting blessed at all, it happens to be based upon the fact that the Holy Spirit has got all of us together at the right place at the right time, according to God? That's what's happening. We can't attribute anything to what's going on to some external thing. Some people flew out from the East Coast recently to see what's going on here. They probably left very disappointed. We didn't know what to tell them. It's just the Lord. Somebody was down this last week from the Pacific Northwest to see what's going on. I had to tell him, I don't know. It's the Lord. You didn't realize how much fun it is to say that? Especially when you see that conundrum look on their face. It's the Lord. Why? It's His Word. He says in Psalm 138, I exalt my Word above my own name. Hey, if you're visiting and you're a pastor, evangelist, preacher, give them the Word. God will take care of the rest. Plant it in their hearts, they'll grow. They'll grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, the church is a gathering place of redeemed people. That's all we are, but that's all we are. We're a gathering of redeemed people, called by God to come together to do all kinds of things for His glory. Things that seemingly may not matter to anybody else, but it matters to God. People that gather together, they're serving the Lord, they're praising the Lord together. What brings us together? What brings every color, every financial status, every different type of position of people that we are? The Word of God. Jesus said it's the Holy Spirit who will use the Word of God. The Word of God unites us together and brings a family together that otherwise just think, quite frankly, there's probably no other reason why any of us would have any deep relationship whatsoever or gather together once a week, sometimes twice a week or more, except for the name of Jesus Christ. Do you realize it's His name that brings us together? That's why we're here. By the way, did you see the newspaper this weekend? Front page? Our civic leaders want us to keep praying at their meetings, asking God to bless their gatherings. Oh, wait, I'm not done. They want us to keep doing it as we have done it for years. But now they're asking us to pray not using the name of Jesus Christ. Ha! Guess who's not going to attend prayer meetings anymore for the cities around town? Or if they invite me, they're going to hear it in Jesus' name. Because you know what? If it ain't in Jesus' name, it ain't a prayer. Who are you going to pray to? Well, you're not showing much sensitivity to others. No, honestly, who are you going to pray to? A totem pole that men carve out of their own hands, out of wood? Who are you going to pray to? A statue? Who are you praying to? I would rather pray to the one who, if you like him or not, he lived for real. Amen. He died on the cross for real. And on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead for real. He ascended up into heaven. He gave us this book that's thousands of years old, that's accurate on every bit of man's facet to investigate, be it scientifically, astronomy, medicine, biology, botany, archaeology. Find a science that is exempt from God, that he has not revealed in his word. You can't find it. Everything that's revealed in science by the hand of our God is revealed in his word, Old and New Testament alike. Solomon knew about the circuits of the water currents of the earth long before we ever had the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We knew about the patterns of storms and the cycle of water from Job long before we ever had scientists stumble across such truth. It's in the book of Leviticus that tells us that the life of every human being is found in the blood thereof. And it wasn't until the 1100s that man figured out that that's where it was actually. Because the man used to think that life was in the breath. God says it's in the blood, and that's what we found out. I love it. The Word of God brings us to fellowship together. And it's a great, powerful thing. So when the Word is taught, there's a mutual intercourse among believers. There's a union of the Spirit. Another thing is verse 6, we're taught that there's a blessing that comes. Listen, we're called to bless each other. Now listen to this, and please, if you're visiting for the first time, this will probably be the first time I've ever said such things in this church in 11 years. I mean it. I mean this sincerely. You know if you've been here. When he says, let him who's taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches, quite frankly, the teaching here, the words used, have two meanings. Number one, it means that the guy who's teaching you the word of God should be blessed by you. I'm not asking for a raise. I'm just telling you that back in that period of time, the pastors, the evangelists, the preachers were often so involved in the work of God that they didn't have time to be involved in their jobs. So the body would come together on Sunday, and afterwards, listen, they would have love feasts. Did you know that? They went to church in the morning. After church, they had these gigantic potlucks. That's why our new facility's got 4 or 5 barbecues out on the back lawn. I'm serious. After last service of the day, we're gonna eat up out there. Or bring in something, you know. We're gonna eat. And then, Lord willing, we'll start baptizing people on Sunday afternoons. People eating, baptizing, singing. What more? I mean, hey. So, well, Pastor, it's going to act like church is going to act like church, like going to go on all day. Exactly. Yeah. That's the way it ought to be. It's so cool. Meeting one another, fellowship with each other, talking about the Word of God together, just experiencing things. It's incredible. Your life will change when you decide that you are going to be yielded to God. If you embrace your own direction, if I embrace my own direction, you're going to get shipwrecked. You're going to crash. Happens every time. Are you on that path right now? Are you doing your own thing? I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, if you're going to say that, can you put a helmet on? Put a helmet on and put the strap on real tight around your chin and wear elbow pads because you're going down. God will knock you out. He loves you so much, he'll take you down. I'm going to do my own thing. And he'll just say, okay, all right. And then you go along a little bit. And then he'll whoosh, pull the carpet right out from underneath you because he loves you. And land right on your head. No, God wants us to bless each other instead of focus on ourselves. Bless. Now watch this. Yes, it meant that the teachers would be blessed after the potluck barbecues. They would take the food and they would present it to the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, because they didn't have anything. Times have changed in much of the part of the world. But it wasn't always so. It not only means, and this is throughout other portions of Scripture, that the flock provides for the ministers, but the ministers provide biblical feeding to the flock. Listen to what Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. It's a great passage of Scripture. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint. Peter's saying, pastor the flock, but, you know, do it with a willing heart. Can you imagine? Oh, man, I got to get up today and study the Bible. What a drag. Oh, here I go. All right. Not by constraint. Look, that's your job. You got to do it. No, it goes on to say, willingly. Listen, you want a minister and ministers in your church that are doing it willingly. Listen, let this be a test. Don't ever forget it. If we get grumpy and snippy, we could be having a bad day. But if we stay grumpy and snippy, you need to quote this verse to us. Hey, 1 Peter 5, 2, knucklehead. Do it willingly. If you can't do it willingly, get out. When we present the word of God to you, man, it ought to be hot on our hearts. It should be exciting. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. We can talk about how the angels really need to win these next games. They can't lose. They're not going to make it. We can talk about that. But when we start opening up the word of God, oh man, we should light up. It's not like, okay, all right, here I go. I'm opening the word of God. I got to light up now. Here I got to kind of like beam. It should happen. Does the word of God excite you? Willingly. Share in the blessing. It also means not only in material things, but when you and I do talk, that we share things with one another about God. Hey, what's the Lord doing in your life? Oh, this. What's he doing in your life? Oh, that. There should be that union that way. Jeremiah 3:15, great verse of the Bible. God says, I will give you shepherds, pastors, according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's God's will, that the word of God be shared among the body. The second point is this, verses 7 through 8. We have a God-given insight. We have a perspective about spiritual things that has now been revealed to us. Everybody, it's time to wake up and listen to this one. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The first thing we see here is spiritual investment. We need to be wise spiritual investors. Class, listen up. Right now, in fact, today, we have been spiritually investing. Every one of us. How's it going so far? Think about it. Okay, get your eyes off of Wall Street, because I mentioned the word investing. Forget it. Focus on spiritual things. If you've got a portfolio or if you have a performance in Wall Street, can I ask you this? If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if I'm a Christian, how's my portfolio doing this week? Say, what do you mean? I thought it's by faith, Jack. Yeah, it is. Faith in Jesus Christ, that being true, the Holy Spirit works out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. He does it. So I want to ask you, I need to ask me, what's happening? How is my investment spiritually doing this week so far? Well, first of all, today's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. Whew, fresh start. Okay, how's it going to go this week? Are you ready? It's up to you. It's up to me. How am I going to invest? So what do you mean by that? Well, God's going to say these things to me. Hey, Jack, why don't you just sit with me for just a little bit? But God, I'm a busy man. He doesn't care. But God, you know, the alarm's going off. I don't care. Lord, I've got to go out and do your work. That's not my work. I want to talk to you first. I want to sit with you first. You say, Jack, you're not serious. I mean, that's like a total waste of time. No, that's a total investment. Amen. It will come back 100%+ on the return. When I spend time with the Lord, everything goes better. The world can come crashing down around me. Things go better with God. It's amazing. So what I want to realize is that, am I spiritually investing? Do I know what I'm doing? Listen, how am I investing spiritually? How? You need to ask yourself that. I've already asked myself that for days. You need to ask yourself that. How? Don't raise your hand, but If I were to ask you, how many of you are Christians? All these hands would go up. God would come right back and say this morning, oh, with all of you with your hands up, how have you been investing? Meaning, have you been loving your brothers and sisters? Have you been taking your financial resources to benefit the kingdom of God? What about time? Have you been giving time? Well, I give time to soccer. God didn't ask us about soccer. Softball. It's football. Coaching. He didn't, as nice as those things are, he didn't ask us that. In my life, in your life, what is priority one in investing in spiritual things? Can I, at the end of the day, say, Lord, thanks. Today was pretty wild. And if you're like me, here's how my day is. There are things of this world that you and I must do, right? We gotta get gasoline, or we gotta go shopping, or we gotta do this, we gotta pay the bills, we gotta go to work, we gotta do all that normal stuff. But how did we do it? In the midst of those day in, day out things, were we doing it, investing in spiritual things? Or did we walk into the bank and say, I gotta pay my bill? And people go, look at him. He's got a Calvary Chapel shirt on. Ooh, a lot of good God's doing him. People will think like that, you know. Take your shirt off, then go into the bank, please. Take the sticker off your car if you're going to do that, you know. How are we doing? How are we investing? He says, do not be deceived. The word is great. It implies pulling the wool over your eyes. I'm going to pull the wool over my eyes. Now watch this. Next verse, or next statement. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. You can pull the wool over your own eyes. You're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. You say, well, hey, wait a minute, Pastor. I've been doing my thing. I haven't gotten caught yet. You already got caught. God was with you the whole time. He saw the whole thing. Yeah, but I haven't gotten disciplined for it or anything. God, I mean, he's cool with it. Oh. He's so merciful and patient. He's waiting for you to confess it to him. If you don't get away from it, my friend, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. Listen, please, I mean this with most affection. Go to him and confess it now and get away from it. Because if you're a child of his, if you hold out, he will see to it that that sin finds you out. Do you know what that word finds you out means? It means that while you're hiding underneath the rock doing it, nobody knows. God will go, bah, 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 and he'll point his big finger. He's right here. He'll expose you. Why? Why would God do that? Because he loves you. He knows that the thing you're playing with will kill you. That little worm you're playing with will grow up to be a python and kill you. You think you're handling it? No, it's handling you. Get away from it. Be a wise spiritual investor. Don't be deceived. Stop pulling the wool over your eyes, because you're not pulling the wool over God's eyes. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. This is true in nature. It's true in spiritual things. Isn't it amazing? If you obey God, if you desire to follow the Lord, guess what? Guaranteed, hands down, your life's going to be blessed. He'll bless you. He'll do it. If you plant an apple seed, what are you going to get? You're going to get oranges? Nope. Same thing with God. You invest in the things of God? For example, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Oh, yes, I wish my faith would grow more. So watch. Oh, I want to have great faith. I want to see God do radical things. And I pray that prayer for all of us. I start first with me, my family, this church. God, cause us to hunger and thirst for radical things from you. Okay, so Lord, do that. I want that to happen. But if I pray that prayer and then sit down and then just kind of drool in front of like MTV or History Channel, I make the prayer, but I don't do anything. The prayer means nothing. I need to put my mouth, my prayer, in action with who and what I am. Then the question comes again back to me, how am I investing? In this church, there are people who are poor financially. There are people here who are blessed financially. There are many, many people in between. There are people here who are blessed financially and then in a matter of months find themselves poor financially. In fact, our alms ministry, that's the ministry that keeps people here from getting hungry, we've never been taxed as hard as we are right now. So many people in need. But you know what? The body is ministering to the body. That's a beautiful thing. But let me ask you, those of you who, in your estimation, you're poor, you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, you don't know how you're going to pay the bill, let me ask you something. God says, to him who sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. Now hear me out. Nobody move. I mean it. This is a very touchy issue with me. I don't know how it is with you, but it's a touchy one for me. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. I remember a time when I had too much money. Then God took it away because I worshiped that money. And then God taught me in my poverty to tithe. And now I can't afford not to tithe. I have learned that when I give God what is his back, he blesses me, and some of those things are so huge of a blessing, I cannot put a dollar amount to it. It's impossible. It's beyond money. It may come back in the way of health. It may come back in so many other ways. Let me ask you this. Those of you who, in your estimation, are poor, are you tithing? You say, oh, hello, pastor, I'm poor. I can't tithe. Listen, I'm not saying that if you tithe, you'll get rich. I am saying, if you're a Christian, give to God. The woman who had the two little widow's mites, remember in the Gospels? Jesus said, out of all these people who just gave, they gave out of their abundance. It cost them nothing, means nothing to me. But this woman, she gave out of her, and the word in Greek is bios. She gave out of her bios. It's the Greek word for livelihood. It's what she needed to live that day. She gave God her two little mites. They're little tiny. I have two of them. Archaeological discoveries. They're little tiny things. She gave those two and then she went home to die. Guess what? I'm sure she didn't die. I bet you she got home and opened the front door and almonds and bananas and dates and fruits came flying out of her house, I bet you. You know how God is. Because he says, you give to me and I'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of your bosom. You'll be blessed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called God's People in God's House. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that love is the great motivator in your walk with Christ. God's People in God's House is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion, a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light. Today was day two of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We hope you've enjoyed our study in Galatians, and we want to let you know, for a limited time, you can get the uncut audio version of this series on the book of Galatians for a gift of any amount by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. In this series, the Apostle Paul shares with us the gospel of grace. We can have true spiritual victory in our lives when we discover that we can't save ourselves by doing good works or by keeping the law. We are saved simply by believing in and accepting Jesus Christ. Get your copy of the Galatians series, Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.